Welcome to Challenge Accepted. I'm your host, Stephanie Lucas, a marriage and family therapist by trade and mom to a daughter with hearing loss. I'm creating a space for parents and caregivers of special needs families to find support, validation, and acceptance by sharing stories of a broad range of families with unique challenges. While this isn't therapy and does not replace the advice of a medical provider, we'll dive into the tougher parts of parenting together and join a team of support from others who get it. This next half hour is about you, your experiences, your emotions, and being allowed to take up space as a parent and human being. So hands in, ears on, hearts open, team, this is Challenge Accepted. Minisode 11, The Land of Maybes. Riley wrapped up her participation in the study literally as the pandemic hit. We missed her last two appointments due to the shutdown, and then things were officially a wrap. Life was just about to settle down a bit, we thought. Then 2020. Our plan to have Riley watch by my mom several days a week went out the window, as we didn't want to bring our exposure at childcare to my parents. We wrestled with on-again, off-again childcare for her four-year-old sister and listened at every drop-off for the slightest hint of a sniffle. Eventually, we settled on keeping the childcare we had available and juggling Riley back and forth between Dad, who was working from home, and Mom doing therapy telehealth during nap times for months. This was a huge stressor, and it felt like every moment of every day was spent working or watching a kid. In April, we celebrated Riley's first birthday in our backyard with my parents. Thankfully, a warm, sunny spring day. And live streamed it for our friends and family. What a weird world we were living in. In June of that year, we returned to the Children's Hospital for one of Riley's quarterly hearing tests. It was our first since she had stopped the study medication. We scheduled it for a time when we were heading up to the Oregon coast for a family trip. So my husband Grant and our oldest Addie went to OMSI, one of the coolest museums out there, while I took Riley to her audiology appointment. By now, I was a professional at this, and with the slight addition of masks and hand sanitizer, shuffled my one-year-old into the booth and hyped the bears in boxes like the best of them. I don't know if you've ever seen a behavioral hearing test for a toddler, but they are something else. You're basically relying on a kiddo with, like, literally the worst attention skills in the world to turn their head and acknowledge that they heard a sound. So when Riley didn't pass her test, we were hurled back into the land of maybes. Maybe her loss had progressed on her right side. Or maybe she was just a fussy baby. Maybe she would need a hearing aid. Or maybe it's just fluid. Maybe, maybe, maybe. We went home with an appointment for a sedated auditory brainstem response test, commonly known as an ABR, in mid-July. A few weeks later, our family was celebrating the 4th of July at our home. Several of the neighborhood families were gathering outside watching fireworks, and an old college friend had stopped by to celebrate with us. We hadn't caught up in a while, and I hadn't been posting much about our journey on social media. I put Riley down before the big show, and afterwards was sitting in our driveway when our friend commented to me, "She won't wake up to all these fireworks?" The words flew out of my mouth so fast. That's what happens when you're deaf. It was a defensive statement. I was on total overload and had zero emotional energy left to explain to someone, from the beginning, why no, my baby wouldn't be waking up to the fireworks. They weren't sure if I was serious, having not kept up with us recently, and kind of shrugged it off. But that moment will be etched in my mind forever, because as I sat there a few moments later, stewing over the awkward social exchange, that small parental whisper in the back of my mind crept forward. That maybe wasn't really maybe. Her hearing loss had progressed, and I knew it in my heart. These are the kind of whispers that are hard to share. If you tell those closest to you, some will write it off as anxiety or worry. Some will tell you not to think like that, or that we need to wait and see. My husband, ever the stoic, responded with a, "Yeah, maybe." But it sparked a discussion about what we would do if her second appointment confirmed the results. Did we want a cochlear implant if her right ear was really starting to go? We landed on yes, which I'll unpack in a later episode, but it informs the emotions that we carried into the next appointments. These results were going to determine whether our baby would be undergoing surgery, and to be honest, answer the question of maybe that had loomed since so many providers had told me that single-sided deaf kids turned out pretty, quote, normal, that CMV kids had a 50-50 shot of hearing loss progression, that the antiviral that we may or may not have gotten in the research study may have worked. Our sedated ABR appointment came, and we both took the day off work to attend the appointment. We tried to get her to nap in the car on the way up, which did not go well, and arrived frazzled and nervous for our baby's first time being put to sleep. I took her in the back while Grant waited in the lobby, and the nurse, who did not have the warmest of bedside manners, ran down the list of intake questions for me. Then, all of a sudden, things took a sharp turn. When was the last time she ate or drank? Noon? A few chicken nuggets? A pause. Okay, anything else before that? Yeah, she had a banana around 10. The nurse put down her clipboard. Okay, I'm going to have to check with the doctor if that's okay. I was confused. Were there some rules about what you could and couldn't eat that I hadn't known? Did I do something wrong? Turns out I had. See, in the voicemail confirming our appointment the week before, the nurse had left long instructions about how Riley would need to fast for 12 hours before her sedation. When I opened up my voicemail app and read the transcription, it cut off about 20 seconds in, when they were listing the address to the hospital. In my mind, I went, yeah, I know how to get there. Didn't see the discrepancy between the length of the message and the transcription, and never actually listened to it. I saw nothing of the prep instructions, and our procedure ended up canceled. Our audiologist had stopped by to administer the test right as things were falling apart. I was fighting back tears and trying to stand firm to my claim that I had never been given those instructions. It took me a few days to figure out what had gone wrong with the voicemail. The nurse seemed to hand me off to her and disappeared. For this day and so many more, I will forever be grateful for this audiologist. She is kind, compassionate, and goes over the top to serve her patients. She is a true gift to our family and families across the state. She pivoted on a dime and told me we could try to confirm the results with another behavioral test. I was swimming in emotion. Half of me wanted to scrap the whole day and just go home and cry. Half of me knew we should try and get what we could from this appointment regardless. We shuttled out of the waiting room to update my husband and bring him back. Before that day, he had never actually been there for an audiogram, and we tried to reframe it as a great opportunity for him to be present for the experience. I sat in the hot, stuffy hallway and tried to settle my nerves while they completed the test. Then the door to the testing booth opened and our audiologist waved me in. "I want you to see this," she said with an air of expedience. She didn't seem concerned, and I trotted into the booth, somewhat curious about the experience from the other side. "Okay," she said to her assistant, in with Riley and Grant. "I'm going to go again on that frequency." I watched quietly from a circular rolling chair, scanning back and forth between Riley's reactions and the screens in front of me. No reaction. 2, 3, 4 times. "She's not responding here," she said. I don't know how to describe that moment to you, other than the end of one reality and the beginning of another. I was literally watching my life change as that sweet, precious baby failed her hearing test again. It wasn't the same as learning that she had hearing loss at all. That was a plunge into a world we knew nothing about. Like the lights turned off and we had to fumble around to figure out where we were. This was like being in an airplane, having fully prepared to jump. You've got a parachute packed. You know what's on the other side of the door. You can see the world just feet away from you. You're trying to steady yourself when the instructor comes along and whoosh, it's happening. I let the tears fall and frankly kept them pretty under control considering the circumstances, but the audiologist noticed and turned to me. "I'm sorry, I didn't mean to upset you." I will repeat again, this woman is a saint, and I was so grateful that she brought me in for that experience. But I had to let my feelings be what they were. I had to let the fear and grief and sadness roll down my cheeks in a salty release. We learned what we needed to know that day. Her right ear had progressed to having hearing loss as well. And because of our conversations in preparation, let the audiologist know that we wanted to move forward with a cochlear implant on her left side, right then and there. It was the most flipped over, topsy-turvy, hold on to your britches day of the entire thing for me. I'm so thankful Grant was there and able to be present for the experience. He told me later he could see me in the booth as I started to cry, and he knew what it meant. That day was the day I had to say goodbye to my denial. All of the maybes and the positive outcome stories and the "I know a single-sided deaf kid and they're totally fine" comments from providers and friends and family had allowed me to float on a life raft of maybe, maybe not. I didn't think too hard about deaf culture or speech therapy, ASL, or not fitting in with her peers. I told myself, maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe this would just be a thing that our friends from college barely knew about. Maybe that long, exhausting research study was a success, and she wouldn't have progression. Maybe we'd be a part of the 50% who didn't progress anyway. Maybe not, as I fell asleep. Maybe not, as I drove to appointments. Maybe not, as I wove in and out of focus during IEP meetings. In that moment, the comfort of the maybe disappeared. We had a brand new mountain to climb.
Thank you so much for joining me for this episode. I hope it was inspiring and encouraging for you and your journey. If you enjoyed it, I love it if you could share it with your friend, subscribe for future content, and leave us a 5-star review. This will help us grow our reach so others can join our community of support. If you would like to share your unique story with the Challenge Accepted community, feel free to reach out to me on social media, Stephanie Lucas MFT, on Instagram or Facebook. Thanks for being a part of our team.